Thank you. worship. We bless the Lord today. We honor the Lord. We thank God for all that he's done. We thank God for the service, and we thank God for the Lord's Supper. That's always a reminder of how good God has been to us. Amen. When we couldn't help ourselves, we were too weak. The Bible says in due time, Christ died for us. So can we just say thank you, Jesus? Amen. We bless the Lord. Thank God for my wife. Amen. Bless her. She's getting stronger each week. Amen. I thank God for all of you. Everyone is overcoming difficulties, trials, and tests. Can we all just say praise the Lord? Amen. We're all going through something or something. So can we just say praise the Lord? The Bible says that everything that has breath, do what? Praise the Lord. And the scripture says, in all things we ought to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we thank God for that. We thank him for all of the elders in the church, the mothers, the deacons, the musicians, ushers, everyone in their respective places. Amen. It takes a sum of the parts to make the whole. Amen. Our bishop always says success is not a solo event. Amen. But it takes all of us doing a part. Can we say praise the Lord? There's something for everyone to do in church. Amen. We can't all do the same thing, but how many know God has something for all of us to do? Amen. Let us stand at this time for our scripture reading. Amen. Our scripture reading today will be coming from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to also hold the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And if the Lord says so, we will go through a few other scriptures. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for his goodness, mercy, and kindness. Amen. We thank God that he is a keeper. How many know God is a keeper? Everybody got testimony? Amen. We couldn't keep ourselves, but God is a keeper. Amen. God can make ways for us where there is no way. Amen. We're going to go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to read verses 19 through 23. And then we're going to skip down and read verses 35 to 39 together. Amen. Do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, it's on the screen. Verse 19 reads, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with having our conscience cleansed, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. We can just stop right there and make a whole sermon out of that. God is what? Faithful. Amen. If he has promised you anything, God won't let you down. He is faithful. But verse 35 reads, because, how many know he's faithful? Give God a wave offer. You know God is faithful. People will let you down, but God will never fail. And because he's faithful, it says, cast not away, therefore, your which has great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He's coming. Hallelujah. When he gets ready, he's coming. But until he comes, now the just shall live. But if any man, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for good. Lord, we're so glad that you've been a keeper. Lord, we're so glad that you've been a way maker. Lord, we're thankful today as we stand in your presence, that Lord, that you, instead of having judgment
In God.
have need of patience. Amen. The Bible says we've seen the patience of Job. You have need of patience. Then after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Then Paul inserts it for yet a. It might not look like things are going to turn around, but look at somebody and say, he's turning it around. Come on, look at somebody and say, he's turning it around. It might not look like it right now, but God is. Somebody said, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. And I know my God's going to. Maybe it might not be today, and it may not be tomorrow. Jesus? What part of what part of the earth are you in? Okay. Oh, well, how long did it take you to drive to Albany?
18.
18? That's going forward, right?
Yes, sir.
How long would it take you if you turn around and go backwards?
Oh, God.
You see what the devil does to the church? We're supposed to be going forward to it. Then all of a sudden, he makes some of us put our cars in
reverse.
And we're going
backwards.
Even if you're trying to go to heaven back, it's going to take you a lot longer.
Amen.
And it's going to be a lot harder. How many of you, if you drive too long back, you wind up having an
accident.
Right? They tell you, when you drive back, you have to be on a car. You have to be on alert. Because you can't see all the stuff that's getting in your way when you're going. Isn't it amazing how the devil can trip the saints of God and make them go backwards? That means we have to stop. Stop. You got to stop going backwards. Well, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4 reads, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are. Well, what is the problem? They have. That's the one thing the devil wants to do. Whatever situation you're going through, he wants you to leave God out. He wants you to forsake the Lord. Now, God told Solomon, he said, as long as you're with me, I'll be with you. He said, but if you forsake me, then I will forsake you. So, how many of his taxes haven't changed? He still is trying to make people draw back from God, trying to make them forget God. He said, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto
anger.
Well, how did they provoke him unto anger? Because they went? I got saved. I had my dance. I had my shout. I had my praise. And something went wrong. So I went. He said, well, you provoke God to anger. Because you're not supposed to be going backwards. You're supposed to be going forward. And then Jesus, I believe, is in the 17th chapter of Luke. I'm not going to go there. I do have it. But in the 17th chapter of Luke, he was picking men to follow him. And somebody was following him. He said, well, first my father died, let me go back and bury my father. But how many know Jesus knew was nothing but an excuse? So the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. Hallelujah. And then the Lord drops down. He said, no man can put his hand to the plow and he said, if you go on forward and looking back, he said, you're not fit for the kingdom. There's a whole lot more to that, but we don't want to say there about the plow. Amen. So the devil always wants you to look back. All right. So
deception. Instead of you seeing how good God has been to you right where you are, you keep looking. Stop looking back. You know, I told them something on Wednesday. I've been looking back too much. It's time for us to stop looking back. Paul said, forgetting those things which are. Every time you think about everything that's behind you, looking back. That's what the Bible says, right? Come on, y'all. Y'all want to shut up. Y'all talk to me. So every time God blessing you and everything's going good, you do this. Talking about all that stuff that happened back there, right? Paul said, forgetting those things which are. But he didn't just say forget. He said, this one thing I do. Well, Paul, why do you have to do that one thing? Because as long as you keep going back, you can't go forward. As long as you're holding on all that mess in the past, you cannot go forward in Christ. So Paul said, forgetting all that stuff which is behind and reaching forward to the things which are before, he said, I press.
I'm gonna give you something little.
it, it doesn't matter anyway. You want to go there, you can go there. All right? And then as soon as they were on their way to Zoar, what did Lot's wife do? And you're not supposed to eat. You're not supposed to be turning around. Right? He told you to listen. When you begin to go, when you see what I'm doing, when you hear all the destruction, don't look back. He said, when you begin to go forward, don't you back up. I just want you to keep going. Hallelujah. And then when Lot's wife heard everything, because she couldn't see it, right? Come on, y'all, y'all talking. Because she said no, because she was going. So what the devil know, as long as you got your eyes on God, you're going. So he has to get you to stop long enough to. And then once you look back, you disobey God. The Bible said when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. Why? God said, don't look. I wonder how many to church today in church. I'm missing out on a blessing that God has because they keep looking back. It's time to keep our eyes on Jesus and to go down and to go forward. Someone said, I'm going forward unto. Come on, I'm going forward unto. New heights I'm gaining. Anybody gaining some new heights? Are you still looking back? Amen. I don't want to go through all of this, so let me just pick out my, can I pick out my scriptures?
Thank you, Jesus.
First, let's just go to verse 3. Let's start at verse 3 of Jeremiah. Now, this is God dealing with, can look at somebody say, his people.
His people.
Guess what we are?
His people.
His people. The devil's tactics have not changed. He always wants you to look at the trouble instead of looking at the solution. Who's the solution to all of our problems? The Bible says, with men these things are impossible. But with all things are. Now the question I'm going to ask you, what things have you eliminated because they are impossible? Then that's what you got to give to God. A lot of stuff we got impossible and we've been, you know, messing with it and fighting with it. God's right up there, you know, the other day we went over the scripture, he's stretching forth his hand and no man regarded. It's not that you're intentionally not regarded, you can't see God because you're looking at all that trouble. So stop focusing on the problems, stop focusing on all the things that have not yet happened, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the trouble because you missed the mark not intentionally, but because you're looking at all the troubles. I like the song right. He said, Lord, my own other self I'll call. Please don't pass me by. You know, Lord, you're working everywhere else. But I said, I heard somebody say, I got a blessing with my name on it. So Lord, don't you pass me by. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 2 reads, Israel, what were you before? They say you were right of God before. We're talking about God's people. Israel was. I pray to God this afternoon that none of us put our name in there and say, such and such
was.
Right? Because if you was, that means you have drawn back. And you're no longer going forward. You're no longer going towards heaven. You're in limbo. Right? You're just in a quandary. You don't know what you're doing because you've lost focus of the main purpose of you being on earth. God created to the Lord. Well, what was the sign of their holiness? Because the first fruit of his increase. He said that God, he loved God so much that every time he got an increase, all that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. You know what? The first fruit, in the beginning, every time you have a first fruit, he said, listen, I know God's going to say, I'm supposed to give God a portion of my first fruit. Right. So when I begin to draw back what I used to give God, I don't do that anymore. Right. The first fruit of all my increase, read about that in Proverbs the 3rd chapter.
Right.
You're supposed to give God a portion of the first fruit. Somebody say, well, I don't feel like I'm increasing. If you have, if you got a dollar today that is more than a dollar you had before you started, that is a increase. So you're supposed to give God a portion of that. If you don't give God his you're drawing? I didn't say that. The word said, verse 4 said, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all families of the house of Israel. Thus said the Lord, what? What iniquity had your father found in me that they gone? Why are you finding fault with God that instead of getting closer to God, you're getting? You're drawing back from God. God said, what did I do to you? And the church did this, he said that too. Now, you know what those people say, oh, some people be doing. You see, the pastor did this, church did this, saint did this, the mother did this, the father did this, the husband did that, wife did that. God said, that might all be true. He said, but what? Have you found him? Let you go? Job let you down, bank stole your car, the bank took your house. God said, but what about? He said, what iniquity have you found in me that you've gone so? I wonder how many of us this afternoon are far from God when the Bible said, let us draw near unto God in the full assurance of faith. We're not supposed to draw back, we're supposed to get the scripture says. How you living in houses that you did not build, and how you're drinking from wells that you did not dig, and how you eat from fruit and plant and trees that you did not plant. He said, remember this, in all of your prosperity, it is me that giving you power to get well. Whatever you have is not because of you, it's because of God. He can take it away any moment. So all that you have is not because of your own sustainability, but it's because of God. So is it robbery to give God just a thing? Is it robbery to give God a praise of the Lord? Is it robbery to give God a smile instead of a frown? Hallelujah, when God has been so good, but when you begin to draw back, things just don't matter anymore. When you begin to go draw back, you begin to get mad at God. And you begin to take out other people of God. God said, well, what iniquity have you found in me?
I meet people every day. They say, well, I used to go to church. Well, what makes you stop going? Well, I had a hard marriage. All right, you had a hard marriage. What did that have to do with God?
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I used to go to church, but I had this beautiful house and a successful career, and I lost it all, so I stopped going to church. Well, okay, you lost that. What does that have to do with
God? Come on.
Because everything you lost, if you stayed in God, God would have given you that much more if you remained faithful. Remember, Job lost
everything.
Y'all with me? Job lost
everything.
I know, I'm over time. Just give me a few more. I'm not going to charge off of overtime. It's a holiday weekend, I'm not getting double pay. I'm on overtime, so y'all ain't got to pay me extra. We'll get there then.
God is good.
The Bible said Job lost
everything.
Our problem is we keep looking at all the loss instead of looking at the sustainable life to give us more than we had before. When Job lost everything, the Bible said he fell down and
worshiped.
So you might be going through difficulties. You might be going through trial. Don't go away from God. This is time for you to come. And you know, how do you know if Jesus tells us something? Jesus is pretty smart, right? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he said, I will give you
rest.
Some have no rest. You know why? You're going back. You're going the wrong direction.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Job lost
everything.
But in the last chapter of his book, the Bible said, God blessed Job because Job remained faithful. And he said, Job has spoken His friends were speaking the wrong thing. God said, I can't help y'all. Matter of fact, you need to go get Job to pray for you. Because the things that you've been saying are wrong. Anybody been saying some wrong stuff? That to you, sir.
I have this answer.
You've been saying some wrong stuff? He said, but now, because you've been seeing the wrong stuff, go to somebody that's been saying the
watch your company.
If your company has been saying the
wrong stuff,
they've been saying all the wrong stuff. Come out from among them and be separate.
Somebody said, man, you don't look about 20 Bible classes. I'm home service. I'm about to finish. Because on my holidays, I get triple me. But
Job's friend problem, they said everything about God, but they said it the wrong way. So because they were saying it the wrong way, even though they were trying to help Job, they were taking him away from. How many of your friends or parents or lovers have been telling you something that they've been taking you away from? That was the problem with Job's friend. They weren't bringing him to God, they were driving him further away from God. So God said, wait a minute, y'all gonna mess up so bad. All the way I can even accept you now, since you're gonna mess Job up so bad. Go get Job to pray for him. The Bible said when Job prayed, then God forgave his friend. Then after Job prayed for the Y'all read 27th chapter, right? Stop allowing people to make you say the wrong thing about God and salvation. What iniquity? Y'all said that. My time is up. Because I'm about to get four times a day. Right, but let us come, let us, the elders and the ministers come forward. Stop backing up. Stop allowing situations to turn you away from God. God is faithful. And the Bible says, because, listen to the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God is faithful. And because God is faithful, he will never put more on you than you're able to bear.